More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. It's not getting any better. That's why we're here for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast. Hi, I'm Greg Yoder.
And I'm Ruth Bliss. Millions of Christians from more than 40 nations are facing undue persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. The abuse varies from job loss to beatings to excommunication to torture and even death.
Today, millions of Christians around the world are standing up to be counted, standing up for brothers and sisters who look for ways to share their faith, no matter what the cost.
We've seen it in India with the arrest of the Hope Giver staff.
We also saw it in Eritrea, where 10 jailed pastors were beaten to death.
We have a great broadcast ready for you today. We'll hear a message from Johan Kandelin with the World Evangelical Alliance. We'll also have a cross-section of Christians praying for persecuted believers from a diverse body of Christ.
But let's start off our broadcast today in worship. Here's Discovery House Music's new release called Passionate Praise. Here's Enough on the Mission Network News IDOP radio broadcast.
More than enough.
Enough on the Mission Network News IDOP Radio broadcast.
A great song of worship to begin the broadcast today, and a great song for anyone, whether you're facing a trial, a joy, persecution, or a praise. God is more than enough for any of us.
But I bet that song means a lot more to those who are going through tough times in their lives, like those who suffer from persecution.
Isn't that the truth? You know, a few weeks ago, the World Evangelical Alliance was on a global briefing tour to help Christians understand the persecution that Christians are facing around the world.
Today, we're featuring a message from one of the stops on that tour, which was at the People's Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Today's speaker is WEA's Executive Director of the Religious Freedom Commission.
Now, that commission, among other things, equips the church to respond to discrimination, pressure, and persecution of Christians around the world. Now, he fills a key leadership role in the annual International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Here's Johann Kandelin on the Mission Network News IDOP radio broadcast.
My message this morning is prepare for the future. Prepare for the future. And I read two scriptures, Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. So that's Matthew 24:14. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. And then Matthew 24:44. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Now, friends, the world is living at a turning point. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but I think you'll see it very soon, that the leaders of the world do not know how to lead, because they know nothing about the future. We live in a time of interdependence where anything can happen anywhere, anytime, and it will affect us all. There is a wonderful story about Professor Albert Einstein. He was traveling with train one day and he lost his ticket. And then when the man came to check the ticket, Professor Einstein was looking for it but couldn't find it. But the man said, "Well, Professor Einstein, you're well known. We all know you. We're sure you don't travel without a ticket. So no problem. Just enjoy the trip." And the man goes on, checks the other tickets, and while he's on his way out, he turns back and sees Professor Einstein on his knees under the seat looking for the ticket. So he turns to the professor and I said, "Professor, I told you it's no problem. You don't have to look for your ticket." And Professor Einstein says, "I know, but I must find my ticket to see where I'm going." And I think that the world leaders have lost the ticket. They are looking at in United Nations, they look with GA, they come together, they try to look smart, they give press releases, but the ticket is lost. They don't know where the world is going. Now, this has created a situation of great stress, a situation of great confusion, of violence, of terrorist attacks, of wars, of diseases. As someone has put it, the future is not what it has been. Now, in the 60s and the 70s, there were many, many world leaders who were very optimistic. They said, "Once we get the technical development going, there will be no hunger, there will be no diseases, and there will be world peace." Today, we know that's not the situation, because people were trusting that man could save man. And we believe that we were so smart, we had mobile phones and we have internet and we send people to the moon. We're so smart, we can take care of the world. But let me tell you this, friends, the future hope for the world is not that man has walked on moon, but that God has walked on earth. That is the reason for optimism and for the future. And here, one sign of this, the work of the devil is the persecution of Christians. It might surprise you that more than 200 million brothers and sisters in Christ today do not have full religious freedom only because they confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In more than 60 countries, there is discrimination, there is disinformation, as Godfrey said, in Sri Lanka. There is discrimination and there is persecution. Just last week, two young brothers in Eritrea, one age 23, one age 30, were tortured to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. And 2,000 remain in prison in Eritrea, and that's a small country. We have countries where young Christian girls are raped unless they deny Jesus Christ, but they do not. They do not. They will say, and they will say, sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Now, the good news this morning, the good news that the secular media will not tell you is that the Church of Jesus Christ is growing like never before. Every day, about 70,000 people enter the kingdom of God all over the world, even on Mondays. If I were not a Lutheran, I would say hallelujah. I think that's wonderful news. Being one, I could not say it. But the church is growing like never before. There is today about 6,000 million people in the world, 6,000 million, and out of those 2,000 million, one-third are baptized members in a Christian church. Who are born again? We do not know. God will know. But we do know that the number of evangelicals, the part of Christianity growing most in the world today, is something between 400 and 450 million. 450 million evangelical Christians in the world today. That's such a huge number that if you would ask all evangelical Christians in the world to take their hands, it would form a chain 10 times around the globe. Imagine, 10 times around the globe. Now, it's easy to calculate. The hard part is to get them to take their hands. But we'll preach on that next time. Anyway, during the last 10 years, 1 million new churches have been started. And this is tremendous. A tremendous part of what's happening. The conclusion I draw from what is happening in the world with the world leaders, the war, terrorist attacks and everything, and the growth of the church is this: we're living the end times. I believe that, but I know that in my life and in your life, we are living the end times of our personal lives. We have actually never, ever been this close to the end of our earthly life as we are this Sunday morning. Never ever have you been this close to heaven or to hell. Because we all have an eternity. That's similar for all. We're created for eternity. Where we will be depends on what we choose here. It's not judgment day that will say if you go to heaven or hell. Judgment day is just a confirmation of the decision you made here regarding your relationship to Jesus Christ. If you have decided here to follow Jesus and be with him, judgment day will confirm that for eternity. If you have decided not to be with God here, Judgment Day will be the final confirmation of your decision not to be with God. So the time we're living in is a crucial time. And I'm asking myself, how can we prepare for the future? How can we be relevant to a world like this? And I believe that God is putting three things on our hearts this morning. The first one, when we prepare for the future, it's good that we don't know the future. See, we couldn't take it. And many would make money on it. So two good reasons for God not to show it. But I think what God wants to do is to prepare us for the future, whatever it looks like, whatever the tomorrow of this world is, we should be prepared. Now, the first thing God wants to put on my heart and your heart this morning is to have the right attitude. If we don't have the right attitude, nothing good will come out of it. Let me share a personal experience. I was pastoring a church in Finland, senior pastor for 12 years. And the church was doing fine. We were growing. People came to Christ. We even had the tambourine, sure sign of a renewed church. But I was very disturbed when I heard news from the persecuted church. The story I heard was this. There was a secret police came to a home, a house, with a widow, Christian widow, and two children. One of the boys, age 7, sees the secret police destroy the house totally. They cut up the sofas with knife. They destroyed everything looking for Christian books. And then they are about to leave when the boy behind his mother's back hear his mother say to the police, "No, no, boys, you can't leave." And they turn around and say, "Why not?" She said, "You haven't had evening tea." So she prepares a table in front of her enemies, which is very biblical, by the way. She makes the sandwiches, she makes the tea, and she prays for these two policemen. She says, "Dear Jesus, bless these brothers, their families, their children, protect them from evil." That's a good prayer for them. And be with them. And then the two policemen leave, and after 2 days there is a knock on the door, and one of them stands there crying, and he says, "Madam, I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to rebuild your home. And I want to tell you I become a follower of Jesus Christ." And she says, "How wonderful, what happened?" And he said, "For the first time in my life, I saw something stronger than my gun. And what's stronger than a gun is not a machine gun. It's the love of Jesus Christ." She reflected the love of Jesus Christ to a person who walked in darkness. And see, that's what we're called to do. We're no more than mirrors. But Jesus wants to clean the mirror so that we would reflect his love to people who walk in darkness and who do not understand the good news and do not see why the good news is good news, nor why Jesus' name is somehow special. That took me to a journey where the Holy Spirit said to me, "Johan, you have to choose." And I'm telling you this morning, you have to choose. One of three worldviews. Every person has one of three. And the Holy Spirit taught me that from the story about the Good Samaritan. The first one is the bandit, the robber who says, "What's yours is mine, I'll take it." That's how war starts in the Middle East. That's how it starts in other parts of the world. That's how war starts in your kitchen. I take something that belongs to you, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. Jesus says, the devil has come to steal and to kill. The other one is the priest and the temple assistant who see this man and walked by and said, "It's not my problem. He's beat, he's probably dying, but why care? He's a Southern Baptist anyway, or he's a Lutheran, or he's an atheist, or he's a secularist, or 999 reasons why you should pass." So they said, "I'm doing okay. What's mine is mine, I don't have a problem. Why care about the Christians in China? We're doing okay in Toronto. We're doing okay in Vancouver. Why care about the Christians in Sri Lanka or Laos? We're doing okay." That's the most dangerous temptation for Christians today, to become religious. Now let me tell you something really radical. If God was religious, you would go to hell. If God would say, "What's mine is mine," he would say, "My son Jesus Christ is my son. I'll keep him here in a light where no one can go." Where would you go? If God would say, "My Holy Spirit is mine, I'll keep him here," we would have no Holy Spirit. But God is not saying, "What's mine is mine." God is giving Jesus. And Jesus comes to give away forgiveness of sin, hope for the future, a meaningful life, a mission to do. See, God is in the give it away business. And he says, "What's mine is yours." And if we want to be relevant Christians in the future and play the role God has for this church, for us all, for Christians around the world, those people listening to this sermon in United States of America, that great nation, then we need to understand that our worldview needs to be, "What's mine is yours." Let me take a picture here and share the story of a sister. This is a sister, Maria, from Cuba. She lives somewhere in Cuba. Her boss in the work was very hostile to Christianity. He did everything to make her life hard. And then she just prayed for him. She just prayed for him every day. One day she comes to work and he looks really worried and she says, "Boss, what's the problem?" And he says, "It's my smaller brother. He's involved in drugs and another gang has said they will kill him." She said, "My church will fast and pray for him." So a small church came together every evening during a week. And after 1 week, she comes back to the office and there is another man who looks like the boss, but smaller. So she said, "Hey, you must be his brother." He said, "Yeah." She said, "You know, God has a plan for you." And she said, he says, "What?" She says, "Yeah, come to my room." So he comes to her room. He's very surprised. And then she says, "I understand you're leading a tough gang." And he said, "Yeah, sure." She said, "You know what? I have a book from America about a man, young man who led a much bigger and much tougher gang, because everything is bigger and tougher in America." And so she gave him the cross and the Swiss plate. And he took the book and he went home and he called after a week and said, "Do you have any more books like that?" And she said, "Yeah, one called Run Baby Run." So she gave that to him. After a week he called back and he said, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I repented, I spoke to the police, they will not charge me. I spoke to the other gang, they will not attack me. And today he's serving as a youth leader in that church." Why? Big budget in the church? No. Many people in the church? No. Relevant Christianity. And all these need to go together. That's the big idea. So this is the attitude Jesus wants to give us towards people who don't understand us, people who may hate us or want to do harm. The second thing I think God is learning us today to be relevant is to listen to him in a new way. We will never be prepared for the future. We will never be relevant unless we learn how to listen to God. I read about a cruise company. They were building a new ship and they were looking for a radio man. And they put an advertisement in the newspaper and 40 young men came. Everyone wanted to be the radio man of this great cruiser. And then one man came late. You know, you have those in church too. "Blessed are they," says Jesus, "because one day they will be first." But that's another thing. That's another thing. And then this guy sits down. And then suddenly he gets up and he walks through the room and he comes back out from the boss room and he said, "I got the job." And the other one said, "That's not fair. It's not right. We were here half an hour before you came." And then he said, "Could you just be quiet for a minute?" And for the first time they are quiet and from the loudspeaker they can hear a message saying, "The one who hears this, stand up and come in and get the job." He was the only one listening. In the world today, in Canada and the United States of America, we are overwhelmed with impressions, with messages, with TV programs, with internet news, with everything. And the risk is that we don't hear God say, "Stand up and enter and you will get the job I have for you, the challenge I have for you." The third one is to work together and pray for those who persecute you. I challenge you all to pray for the persecuted church in the world today. All the nations, all the material you need is on internet, www.idop.org, idop.org. And we need to work together in a new way like never before. Could I have the third picture, not the second one? Let me illustrate this with these two brothers. The man on the left is a former terrorist, PLO fighter called Abu Saada. And the man on the right side is an Israeli former soldier called Moran Rosenblit. Abu Saada was inside Israel trying to kill as many Israeli soldiers as possible. One of the groups they attacked had five Israeli soldiers and four of them were killed. The only one alive after that attack was Moran Rosenblit. Then, after a couple of years fighting, Abu Saada left. He was raised in Saudi Arabia and he came to United States of America. And there an elderly man, just started to be nice to him. He said, "Thank you, sir." When Abu Saada was serving in a restaurant, he said, thank you, sir, for what you have done. And Abu Sa'd was surprised that he was so kind. He said, anything I can do for you. He took so good care of him that something started to happen. And it took 10 years before Abu Sa'd told this man after a dinner, you have something I don't have. What is it? So the man said, well, come to my home and I'll tell you. So Abu Sa'd came to his home and the man took the Bible and he opened the Bible and he started to read from the Gospel of John. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Abu Sa'd fell to the floor. He didn't know what was happening, but he saw a light and a voice said, follow me, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Abu Sa'd was born again that moment in a tremendous meeting with Jesus. But the interesting thing is he saw in the vision two hands praying for him and one had tattooed a cross on it. And Abu Sa'd remembered that's the hands of the Filipino girl who took care of him 45 years ago in Saudi Arabia when she put him to bed and she would pray for him every evening. And still she was praying for him and those prayers brought him into the kingdom when he met with a man who knew how to invite people from other colors, other races, other parts of the world, like you do here. At the same time, Moran Rosenblit met Christ in a wonderful way. And in a meeting, they suddenly found out, a Christian meeting, they found out that the former PLO terrorist is sitting there and the former Israeli soldier is sitting there. And suddenly they realized they are in the same building. And then they came up and Abu Sa'd asked for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, what he has done. And Moran Rosenblit asked for forgiveness for things they had done to the Palestinians. And then they hugged each other. And from that day on, they worked together to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And they will say, only in Jesus Christ and through faith in Jesus Christ can there be peace in the Middle East. Peace between nations, only in the name of Jesus Christ does the world have a future. And we Christians, we do believe that Christ is coming back. Somebody asked World Evangelical Alliance, what's your reading on the book of Revelation? And we said, it's very simple, Jesus is coming back. And we do believe that, and we do believe that we will be ready. But for us who follow and confess Jesus today, it is not the end. It is the beginning of a great, wonderful, eternal time when we see the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May God bless you. May we understand what He's saying to us in a time for a time like this, and may we work together to see His kingdom come.
Johann Kandelin with the World Evangelical Alliance on the Mission Network News IDOP radio broadcast. Ruth, I was thinking about Johann's words when he said, never, ever have we been this close to heaven or hell than we are right now. That just makes it all the more important that we share our faith.
I love that story about the woman who invited the secret police to stay for dinner after they destroyed her house. I mean, when was the last time we showed that kind of love for anyone?
Well, it's just that kind of love, Ruth, that Jesus talks about when he talks about loving our enemies. She was just being Jesus to these men, one of whom eventually came to Christ.
As we continue our broadcast today, we turn next to Discovery House Music's Shannon Wexelberg from her We Celebrate You release. Here's a song that talks about what this woman did. Here's Before I Sacrifice on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
I will obey. I will worship first in this way. Before I sacrifice, I will obey. And when I sing in your sight, may it bring you great delight. Before I sacrifice, I will obey. Before I sacrifice, I will obey. Ooh. I will obey.
Yes, I will obey.
I will worship first in this way.
IDOP is all about prayer. We know that prayer is a command. Not to pray is sin. Today we're going to pray. In the next few minutes, we're going to focus on prayers on areas where persecution against Christians is taking place right now.
We'll begin today with Open Doors Johnny Lee. Lee is a minister at large and a spokesman for the China Ministry of Open Doors USA. Open Doors is a partner in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast. They too draw attention to suffering servants around the world. Lee prays for specific needs in China.
Father, as we bow our head before you and we remember 300 million children in China, Father, they ought to know you and for the next generation. Father, I pray more children Bible, more Sunday school can be established, not because of the threatened, not because of the persecution that hinder the gospel. Father, we pray for Brother Zhang Rongnang and Father, faithful evangelist, serving you for years, has been sentenced 12 years in the prison, and now he received another 7.5 years in the prison. Father, I pray you strengthen him. In his last imprisonment, he been witnessed you for you. Many turn to the Lord. And Father, I pray more multitude because his faith, his testimony, and those prisoners, they will turn to Jesus Christ, even those gods. And Father, I pray for his wife, what a simple, simple sisters who loves you, support the husband. Father, to be with her, to be with the son, and even the grandson. And Father, I pray for us 14 years old Tom. Father, he is a minority. Father, 5 years ago, he stoned the Christian because they preaching the gospel to him. But now, he is in the training school. He learning the word of the Lord. Father, I pray for many Toms. Doesn't matter they are 14 years old, 15 years old, those young evangelists. Even they call themselves kamikaze evangelists. Father, they want to die for you. But Father, help them to live for you. And Father, we will raise them up, give them word of knowledge. After they graduate, after their learning in the training center, they will spread out the gospel across their minority and also across the nation. Thank you for the persecution, because many of them, they say, more persecution, more growth. And this is their history and also the history of the church. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sri Lanka has been going through years of civil war. It's pit the Tamil Tigers against the government. This year, Sri Lanka's government approved legislation that will prohibit Christian groups from helping with humanitarian aid, claiming forced conversions. Prashant Devisser with Asian Access prays for his country today on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Almighty God, we worship you. By your word, the universe came into existence, and you called it good. With wisdom and care, you fashioned a beautiful people for yourself, to know you and to love you. Thank you that your presence has not since departed. Father, the breakers have come upon this land, and still many are flailing for something to hold on to, for a house that will stand. Centuries have piled up confusion and distrust, stifling the development of peace. The orphan and the widow, cast out by superstition, has no place of refuge. Each checkpoint along the road reminds us that things are not as they should be. Jesus redeemed this lush teardrop island of South Asia, that it may in turn bless its neighbors with a new and relevant theology, bring reconciliation from the inside out. Free Sri Lanka from the notion that its limitations cannot be overcome. For you are a sovereign God who keeps his promises. We return to you, certain that you will never forget us, assured we have been engraved on the palm of your hands. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We turn next to Christian women around the world, especially those in the Muslim cultures. There have been many Muslims who have turned to Christ only to be raped, beaten, even killed for simply claiming Christ as their Savior. We're also seeing Christian communities targeted with violence, Christians forced from their jobs, and many aren't even allowed to talk about Christ, let alone worship freely. Transworld Radio's Marley Speaker is reaching out through TWR's Project Hannah with compassion and hope to suffering women across the globe who live in spiritual darkness. She prays for us today on the IDOP radio broadcast.
O God, we confess that our hearts are stained and that our iniquities are many. So forgive us. Cleanse us as we pray for those sitting in torture chambers, in solitary prison cells, in forced labor camps, in sweatshops, in mental institutions. I pray especially for women in the Middle East, Central Asia, North Africa, China, India, and so many other places. Women who are enslaved, abused, and despised for your name's sake. I have heard their stories, God. You have given me the honor to hold a field of them in my arms and to experience their tears and to share the excruciating pain of losing their children, their freedom, their dignity. Oh God, you have empowered your church to push back the forces of darkness, to storm the gates of hell, to demolish strongholds of false gods and demonic oppressions, oppressive governments and restrictive religious systems. And it is in Jesus' name that we beg of you to look down and to send forth your mercy and grace to our persecuted and abused sisters today. God, give them courage. Courage to endure the unendurable. We pray especially for Christian women in the Middle East who have been raped and then taken to trial without no one to defend them, for the crime of carrying in their womb the child of their rapist. Oh God, I cannot imagine the anguish, the indignity, the shame, and the pain. Father, would you give a change of hearts to government officials so these atrocities and injustices would stop forever? Lord Jesus, you know so well what it is to be persecuted, beaten up, put into prison, and put to death. And you did this to give us eternal freedom, and for that we thank you. I pray you would awaken your church, cause us to feel a sense of moral outrage, sincere spiritual concern that Christians in this day and age are being tortured and discriminated against for their faith. Oh God, forgive. Forgive our coldness of heart. Light in us a burning desire to use the powerful weapon you have given us, the power of prayer. Do not let our hearts and consciences rest until we forsake our indifference, fall on our knees, and speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. God our Father, would you whisper in their hearts your sweet words that blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Not easy words for me to say, Father. But God will wait for that great day when they will receive their reward, and there will be no more death, no more abuse, no more injustice, no more indignities, for you will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And meanwhile, Father, we pray for grace to be your hands wiping away their tears even now with our prayers in genuine love. Oh God, help us. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Persecution against Christians is growing at an incredible pace in India. Organizational leaders have been jailed for their faith and for preaching the gospel. We've seen pastors jailed, beaten, and even killed. We're seeing radical Hindus involved in government that are passing anti-conversion legislation, preventing evangelism. Here's Back to the Bible's Anil Nati as he prays for his nation on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Abba Father, I thank you for this great nation, India, where you have blessed, where you have brought many people in mighty ways to yourself. Lord, today I want to take time to thank you for your great mercy and grace upon this nation. And Lord, our hearts draw to the people who experience persecution just because they belong to you. Just speak to their hearts, grant them the boldness and the courage to come to you. Lord, pray for all those churches that you have established, O Lord. Father, we pray that you would grant boldness to the church leaders and the leadership, Lord, that they would not shy away but be bold in proclaiming the gospel. Let your word reach to the remote parts of this nation, O Lord. Let nothing hinder your word. Father, we pray for all those homes that have been split just because your name has been proclaimed. Your name has been taken out as the only Savior. We pray for all the natural calamities that have occurred in the past. We pray for all those people whose lives have changed due to tsunami. We pray that you'd speak to their hearts, grant them the comfort and peace. We pray that you would take care of them, take care of their needs. We pray, Lord, that you would prepare their hearts, prepare their minds, that you are the only God, you are in complete control, and you are the sovereign God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Iran has been a hotspot for the world's attention. While radical Islam makes freedom of religion impossible, the underground church is growing. Though satellite television is illegal there, it's having an impact. Young people are turning to Christ as they hear the gospel on television. Sat7 beams Christian programming into Iran in the Persian language. Here's Sarah Afghari, the Iranian Christian Broadcasting Director.
Thank you, Father, for your presence and for your name in Iran. Thank you for your love and your care for Iranian Christians. We pray you may give them courage and strengthen them to resist against difficulties and problems. Dear Father, we pray for young people in Iran. Majority of them are depressed because of high unemployment. We pray that they may find their identity and their hope in you and trust in your unfailing love. We pray for women in Iran, especially those women who in desperation have turn to prostitution in order to earn money. Pray they will come to know the Lord as their provider. We pray for the government. We pray that the Lord will reveal himself to the authorities and draw them to the knowledge of the truth. And the government will give more attention to the young people and provide them job and financial security. The young people may stop going into wrong directions, using drugs or living any unhealthy lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christian media. Especially we thank you for Christian TV programs such as ICB. We pray for your blessings and for your grace upon each programs. We also pray for all viewers that they may be strengthened and will become established in the Word of God. We also pray for the political situation in Iran and this time of nuclear crisis. And we pray that the spirit of hatred and destruction will cease, that the war will be avoided and the peace will reign in the region. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
North Africa continues to be a Muslim stronghold. Despite that, it appears the church is growing. HCJB World Radio's Dee Walker prays for this area of the world on the IDOP radio broadcast.
Father, today we pray especially for North Africa. Father, you are doing so many mighty things in that region of the world. We pray for missionaries who are there, short-term missionaries, long-term missionaries. We pray for their families, Father, that you will keep an edge of protection around them. We pray for the local believers. Father, those who are on the front line, living their lives each day for you in areas where, Father, it's so almost impossible, humanly impossible to live for you. We pray, God, that you would just reach out to them today. We pray for the unreached and least rich peoples of North Africa. Lord, there are so many that need to hear the gospel. Father, we pray, Lord, that people who are willing to go to North Africa would come forth in the name of Jesus and share your Son, Jesus Christ, with the people out there, especially those who are yet to hear the gospel. Father, we also pray, Lord, that you will continue to raise up African, local North Africans who are willing to reach out to those around them, the Muslims in that region, and others who are yet to know you. Father, we ask, Lord, that you will strengthen, you will encourage, and you will protect the Christians who are working in that region. Many are scattered all over that region, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will reach out to them. We pray that your Holy Spirit will soften the hearts of the people of that region towards Christians. We know there are so many hostility in that region, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will reach out to them so that they can be receptive to the gospel. We pray, Father, above all else, that you will raise up faithful intercessors who will stand in the gap for North Africa today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We have one more song that we'd like to feature today in keeping this day in perspective.
It's from Discovery House Music's The Hidden Face of God. It's a CD about the life of a suffering servant.
The song can't help but bring tears to your eyes as you remember the suffering today. Here's Michael Card and Tears of the World on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
In any split second of a moment of time, in the blink that is one single day, the sum of the sorrow that wraps round the world could catch every soul up and sweep them away. As vast as the ocean, as deep as the sea, swept up in one toxic tide by warm salty waves, the world weeps its woe. So how could it be that my own eyes are dry? So open my eyes and open my heart and grant me the gift of your grieving and awaken in me the compassion to weep just one of the tears. When God walked among us in the fullness of time, he wept tears as old as the world. Acquainted with sorrow, he took up the cup and drank every drop of the poison that healed. So open my eyes and open my heart and grant me the gift of your grieving and awaken in me the compassion to weep just one of the tears of the world. Of this sorrowful man to set our small sadness aside, to come now and follow, no matter the cost, to follow him boldly and wait in the tide. So open my eyes and open my heart, and grant me the gift of your grieving, and awaken in me the compassion to weep just one of the tears of the world, just one of the tears of the world.
That's Tears of the World on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast. If you missed part of the IDOP event today, you can hear it in its entirety at our website, missionnetworknews.org. Just click on the IDOP link.
Also, all the music you heard on today's broadcast, Passionate Praise, Shannon Wexelberg, and Michael Card, is available online. Go to missionnetworknews.org to get connected with that.
Mission Network News talks about the persecuted church regularly. It's a part of our daily broadcast, and much of that information is featured in our monthly bulletin inserts. We cover stories in areas like Central Asia, the Middle East, and East Asia.
You can see a sample and subscribe at our website as well, missionnetworknews.org.
We hope you enjoyed the MNN IDOP radio broadcast. If it inspired you to be more actively involved in the lives of persecuted believers, give us a call at 1-800-995-4828 or sign our guest book at our website.
Special thanks to the World Evangelical Alliance, Moody Broadcasting, People's Church in Toronto, Ambassador Inspirational Radio, Discovery House Music, and of course, this station for allowing us to be here today. MNN is a listener-supported ministry. For Ruth Bliss and the rest of the MNN team, thanks for listening to the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast, a service of Cornerstone University. I'm Greg Yoder.